Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Wednesday, August 21st, One Take Wednesday. We're in a very long passage today, so I might have to take some breath breaks. We're in Mark chapter 9. This is titled A Day in the Life of Jesus, and I'm reading from the NIV. And he said to them, I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God come with power. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up on a high mountain, where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from the cloud. This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him. Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept the matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant. And they asked him, Why do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first? Jesus replied, To be sure, Elijah does come first and restores all things. Why then is it written that the Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected? But I tell you, Elijah has come, and they have done to him everything they wished, just as it was written about him. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. What are you arguing with them about? He asked. A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit and has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. Oh, unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, How long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for him who believes. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. When Jesus saw the crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, He's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, Why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, That kind can come out only by prayer. They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise. But they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What are you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and a servant of all." He took a little child and had him stand among them. Taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me. Whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." "Teacher," said John, "we saw a man driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us." "Do not stop him," Jesus said. "No one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. I tell you the truth, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name, because you belong to Christ, will certainly not lose his reward. And if anyone causes one of the little ones to believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have been thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around his neck. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell, where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have two feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with each other." Gracious, there is so much to say here. First of all, I just want to say thank you for listening along as we read together. In verse 6, it stood out to me that Peter starts word vomiting. I can identify because he does not know what to say. He's so frightened. He's never seen anything like this before. He's meeting his heroes, Moses and Elijah, and Jesus is transfigured. Did you notice how he was described? His clothes became dazzling white, more than anyone in the world could bleach them. So that was interesting. And then when they're coming down the mountain, Jesus gives them orders. "Hey, don't tell anybody about this until I rise from the dead." So I can only imagine the processing that was going on in their minds. What is Jesus talking about? And then Jesus continues on with his ministry and he heals the boy with the evil spirit. And the dad is very honest with Jesus about his faith. It's hard for him to believe his son has been so affected by the spirit. And we say with the Father, "I believe, Lord, help my unbelief." Then this passage also warns us against pride. Notice that the disciples were thinking Jesus was going to have an earthly kingdom, and they wanted to sit at his right and his left. They wanted to be the greatest in the kingdom. And Jesus takes a little child in his hands, and he teaches them a lesson that whoever wants to be great will welcome these little children. And then at the very end of the passage, he says something interesting, and commentators don't really know what to do with it in verse 49. "Everyone will be salted with fire." This is language of the temple sacrifice system. The sacrifices were burnt with fire, and they salted certain sacrifices. This is language associated with discipleship. The idea that both fire and salt test and prove substances. And it's just a reminder that Jesus is giving them little nuggets along the way to say, trials are going to come. There is going to be a cost to the discipleship. You want to be the greatest in the kingdom, but that comes with a cost. And ultimately, Jesus is going to pay that cost on our behalf so that we can be free to have an abundant life here and eternal life with Him in heaven. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we can have freedom in it, that it speaks for itself. Lord, in these moments, would you open our eyes to see parts of ourselves that need to be conformed to the image of Christ? Would you meet us in this place and illuminate our lives? Would you cleanse us of all unrighteousness, and especially the pride that is mentioned in this passage? And you fill us with servant leadership, helping us, Lord, to be living sacrifices for your kingdom. I pray for my brothers and sisters, whatever they face today, as they seek to be your hands and feet, would you heal them? Would you comfort them? Would you be their strong tower, their Abba, their beautiful Savior, their comforter, their defender? Thank you, Lord, for your presence in our lives. Continue to help us to seek you in your word daily. We pray all of this through Christ our Lord. Amen.